Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. God bless you, one and all. We're so happy that you're able to join us for fellowship around the Word and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. with our Heavenly Father and God the Holy Spirit. We love you all, and God bless each of you. Amen. 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 And for those of you who are new and who have never joined us before, at the beginning of our service, we celebrate Holy Communion together. So now would be the very perfect time for you to gather your elements. Amen. The perfect time for you to gather your elements together. You know, the Lord has a feast prepared for his people. He always does. There's a feasting table that the Lord has that the saints indulge in and enjoy, and it satisfies them, because you see, our God satisfies the desire of every living soul. That's right. He even tends to the animals. So you see, he always looks to take care of, to protect, to make safe, and to provide for his people. We have a good God who truly does love us. Amen? So we came to celebrate him today, and to celebrate the saints, the body of Christ, to celebrate the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to have fellowship, the body of Christ, and it's a wonderful thing to have a personal, intimate, and close relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus gave his life for each of us. Yes, for the whole world, but also for each of us individually, you see. He loves us no matter what our state or condition is, whether we're poor or rich, whether we're educated or not, whether we have amassed this world's goods or we hardly have anything. He loves each one of us. And he wants us to learn to walk in that love. Amen? He wants each of us to learn. It's a learning process. Yes, a process of learning over the journey of your life, learning how to love the people whom God loves, and learning how to love the Lord. So we have the privilege of this honor that the Lord has given, and we want to thank him for it. Amen? We want to thank him for it. And so we're going to go before the Lord our God in prayer, and we're going to bless his holy name. You know, life, it can be wonderful, whether here on the earth or beyond in the heavens. Amen? Life can be wonderful. But our decisions and our choices and our point of view has a lot to do with it. You know, saints, it has a lot to do with it. So let's go before the Lord our God this afternoon. And good morning to some, good afternoon to others. We love you one and all. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, because our God is good. Yes, his eyes roll to and from all over the earth. You're looking for people to bless, Lord. You bless your people because you are in the blessing business, and we always stand in need of your blessing. There's nothing like your love, Lord. Nothing can be compared to it. It is so wonderful, so satisfying, so completely fulfilling, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you for pouring out your love upon us. For the Bible says that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, Father, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would come to enjoy everlasting life. Yes, everlasting life, not just life, everlasting life, and that more abundantly. Amen. We want to thank you, Lord, for those who have sojourned here with us on the earth but have transitioned to their heavenly home. We want to thank you for each one of them, Lord. We want to thank you that we knew them, that we had an opportunity to share in their lives, and that they were allowed to touch and even change and redirect ours. We want to thank you that they made it to their heavenly home, their desired destination. We want to thank you that they have a home with you, not a better place, home in heaven with you, right with all the other saints that have gone before us. And prayerfully, when our time should come, we shall join you as well. Yes, Lord, to some it may be a sad time because we will miss those that we have known here, but they will not miss us. They will be in that great cloud of witnesses praying and interceding on our behalf, for which we are truly grateful. Lord, we know that the day comes when you call all your children home. But until that day comes, Lord, we will thank you knowing that one day soon we will be caught up in the air as well, and we will forever be with the Lord. We will be joined with the company of the rest of the saints all around the throne of God, worshiping you, praising you forever and ever and evermore. Yes, Lord, what a wonderful day. What a great getting up morning. What a wonderful day. And we look forward to it with all of our hearts. We look forward to seeing you face to face. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all his evil angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and the workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks. We return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, technology demons, and their attacks. Every demon that tracks us, we bind and we blind in Jesus' name. We bind all water spirits, all Leviathan spirits, all kundalini spirits, all sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone devils, whoredom spirits, and the voices of the stranger and their attacks in the name of Jesus Christ, returning the attack from whence it came. We bind all hypnotic and trance devils, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic art, even Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, and all Hindu practices. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return the attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide and in each of our communities. In Jesus' name, we bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity in Jesus' name. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, and low levels of dopamine in Jesus' name. We bind demonic oil and its scent in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind demonic oils and their purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. Every ritual done over each, any of us, or each of us, with demonic oil, we bind it and we break its grip and hold in our lives. We break its power. We break its grip and hold in Jesus' name. We return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it to leave us now, to come up and out of us now, to go right back where it came from, to come out of our dreams, come out of our lives, come out of our past, bound in Jesus' name, sent back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every wicked device, every evil and satanic mission accomplished in our dreams, we bind in the name of Jesus, and we return it right back where it came from, according to the covenant, in Jesus' name. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents. We place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose those attacks to the senders according to the covenant. Father, we ask that you deliver us from every evil work that has happened in our dreams in Jesus' name. Our dream life is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we forbid any enemy to infiltrate our dreams again in Jesus' name. We bind you. We raise a shield of faith, and we quench all your fiery darts in the name of Jesus. Every wicked, evil, treacherous, and demonic act, every satanic thing done in our dreams, we curse it at the root in Jesus' name. Just as Jesus cursed the fig tree, and we command it to leave our lives. Deliver us, Lord Jesus. Deliver us, Lord Jesus. You are our deliverer. You alone are our deliverer. We depend upon you for our deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, Antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind you all in Jesus' name. We pull you down from your places of authority in Jesus' name, and we place you under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices done for the lives of the righteous, done against the lives of the righteous. We return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin in Jesus' name. Lord, every sin that the enemy has committed against the children of God, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we send it right back where it came from, according to the covenant in Jesus' name. Every single sin that the enemy has done against the righteous, we bind in Jesus' name, and we return it from whence it came, according to the covenant in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people of God. You have no right to be there, and we command you to come out of God's people. Leave God's people alone. Leave his heritage be in Jesus' name. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baphomet, and all of his underlings. Neptune, Python, Baselech, Molech, and we chain you with eternal chains unto darkness in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and we return every affliction afflicted upon us by the enemy in Jesus' name to the workers of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We thank you for anointed thoughts, Father, in Jesus' name. We cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every evil work. We bind you in Jesus' name. Every thought, every demonic dream, every demonic vision, all divination, you are bound in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you love your people. Amen. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness. We break off the bands of wickedness off of God's people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We break according to the anointing and destroy every heavy burden and every oppression, every yoke and every chain in the name of Jesus Christ. We call for justice and plead for truth. We command the spirits that attack the people of God to be bound in Jesus' name. Every spirit pushing us down, weighting us down, trying to hinder us, stop us, and block us, we bind in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, in whom we serve and obey. We pray, Father, also for the peace of Jerusalem, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, Lord, yes, we do. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We thank you, Lord, that there is salvation in none other besides you. We receive the salvation that you offer, Lord Jesus. And with the sword of the Spirit, we sever from ourselves every ungodly silver cord, ley line, soul tie, attachment, covenant, agreement, consent, garland, vow, pledge, any connection whatsoever with the demonic realm. We set ourselves free in Jesus' name. We loose ourselves from these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And we return them bound to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind the works of every witch, whether in the deep, in the heavenlies, in the bush, wherever. Every witch, every warlock, every wizard, every Satanist, every shaman, every sorcerer in Jesus' name. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, all fetishes, psychic witchcraft, sorcery, magic, every form of magic, all mind control, jinxes, potions, bewitchment, all death, destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, incense and candle burning, incantations, hoodoo, crystals, every form of witchcraft that has ever existed and ever will exist. including electromagnetic technology witchcraft, in Jesus' name. We bind you all, and you have no power over us, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of blindness, be it natural or spiritual, to bondage, spirits of heaviness, spirits of fear, and spirits of hate. And we loose over the people of God the love of God that's found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are a mighty good God. Yes, you are. Amen. So now, saints, we are going to pray a little bit more, and then we will celebrate Holy Communion. Father, we pray for the safety, security, well-being, and protection of the ministry leadership in the name of Jesus Christ. We lose Psalm 91 over the leadership and over the ministry in Jesus' name. We pray for the membership to sever ties with those with whom the Lord requires them to part from. Yes, they are people, even establishment, that the Lord requires his people to depart from. We pray that each member will obey the Lord Jesus Christ and depart from wicked persons and entities in Jesus' name, and to sever ties according to the word. We're praying for families who are bereaved, Father. We ask for the comforter to come and to comfort each one in Jesus' name. We're praying for provision, Father, even in the natural, for all persons rightly related to Miracle Outreach Ministries. Whatever the need is, Father, the Bible says, you supply our need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We receive the provision at your hand, Father. We humble ourselves and we receive in Jesus' name. Father, we're praying for rest and restoration for all of Miracle Outreach Ministries, and we thank you and we give you praise. We love you, Lord. You're a good God. We love you, and we wouldn't serve anybody else. Amen. Now, saints, I'm certain that you have your elements there now. And we do remember that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without Jesus' blood having been poured out on the cross for us, forgiveness of sins would not be possible. And we need forgiveness of sins. We need the Lord's mercy to be poured out in our behalf. We need the Lord's grace every moment of our lives. So, Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus Christ, not just saying words, saying, I repent, Lord, but turning away from everything that offends you. You know, you call us in the word, repent, and to turn away from our wicked works and our wicked deeds, because they are an offense to you. You are a holy God, and we are your holy people. So, Father, we come to you with hearts that are grieved over the sin that we have committed. Chances are, Father, if we thought about it truly, according to the word, we may not have done it. But, Lord, nonetheless, we ask for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your pardoning, for your correction, and help us to see things your way, Lord. Help us to understand that what we see may not be what really is. So we give you praise. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We present our hearts before you, Lord, and we ask you to judge our hearts. And if you find wickedness anywhere in our hearts, Lord, we ask that you bring it out, because it does not belong in a heart that's dedicated to you. So we thank you, Lord, for your correction in our lives. We ask for it. We welcome it. Why? Because it's your love being extended to us. Your correction is a form of your love being extended to us. And we receive with open arms your love, your correction, and your provision that you have made for us, Lord. Your provision you have made for us. And so, Father, we thank you. And we come before you with the bread and with our elements for Holy Communion. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We remember you, Lord. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many, many sleep, in death even. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or corrected of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So we want to thank you, Lord, for this cup, this bread, this communion, your sacrifice, and for your correction in our lives, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, today, saints, the Lord has some words to say to us. And they're mighty good words. Amen. Today we're going to talk about people. People need people. You know, it's also wonderful to have technology. It can be a great convenience, but it is not a substitution for people in our lives. You know, I was talking with someone not too long ago, and we had engaged in an exercise that utilized two people, one navigating and the other driving. Then at another time, there was a different exercise, one using technology navigation. And I was asked later, isn't this better? Well, my answer to that is, the Bible says that two are better than one. That's what the Bible says. Two are better than one. You see, God designed us for people to need people. That's right. And our present society is trying to change that narrative. But let your hearts be assured that the Word of God remains forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. You see, God's people are people, just like everyone else in many, many ways. And God made people to need the fellowship of others. He designed us that way. It was his kind intent. Yes, it was. Others who are like us and others who differ from us. When you look around the world, God has made all kinds of people. And he made a lot of them, too. A lot. And it doesn't matter how many leave the earth, he keeps making more and more and more. It doesn't matter how many laws and how many rules they make. God makes more and more and more people every single day. And he likes doing it. He likes it. It pleases him. There are no average persons. Just like the snowflakes, each is an individual and different, but all together, they make a picture-perfect scene. God really likes people. He has made them in the past, and then when he had to take some away, he made some more. That's how you know he likes them. And he gave his son to die for people. That's how you know that God loves people. Amen. It's so. And God wants us to share in this joy. God says that is good. It pleases him. God likes people. He even loves people. He loves you. It does not matter how many imperfections that you possess. God knows how to make imperfections to be beautiful, too. That's right, he does. You see, God has a way that works it all out to his glory. Yes, he does. He has a way that works it out to his glory. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's it. He doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to have everlasting life. And we should want everlasting life too. You see, God created family. Families are to be a birthplace for people, a place to develop, to grow, a place to learn, and a place to be shaped into a healthy, functional, whole adult. That's what families are for, to pass on the traditions of holiness, righteousness to the next generation, to pass on the things of God to our heritage, to teach them how to grow and develop and bloom and blossom and produce fruit unto God. Families are for. Now, we know that many times our family is broken, some more seriously than others. There are even times when family won't learn to love their own family members. Many of us have experienced that, you know? We've experienced this situation, many of us still are being healed from some of those situations. But be certain of this, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. Walk in your healing in Jesus' name. Sometimes the family collapses and cannot maintain stability nor integrity. A time when family can't or won't support its own members. That's right. Can't or won't support own members. You see, a family supports the family. We're a cushion from a hard fall. We encourage, we help to build up, and we're a cushion from a hard fall. In Psalm 38, verse 11, the Bible says, "My kinsmen stand afar off." Sometimes our family rejects us for various reasons. Maybe it's their sin. Maybe it's generational iniquity. Maybe it's something we've done that we ought not to have done. Maybe it's something we've said that we ought not to have said. There are many reasons, many, many reasons. For as many families, there are just that many reasons. But nonetheless, God called families to be a strong place. And we need to pray, saints, for families. Families need the Lord. All of our families need the Lord. So God uses these collapses to help us to be a blessing to others once we are restored and have overcome. That's why, you see, it may not have started out the way we would have hoped. It may not have ended the way we would have hoped. But God will use it to work together for our good nonetheless. God can do this because the Bible says, to the uttermost, Jesus saved. Amen? You see, saints, brokenness has its place in our lives as well. Yes, there are places where we're tender and broken. You see, if we never experience anything like that, we won't be able to have proper compassion for others who do experience it. Amen? There is a place where you understand really, in real life, not in word only, how someone does feel. Why? Because you preceded them into the very thing that they are experiencing. Amen? So brokenness has its place in our lives if we will allow the Lord to use it to his glory. Sometimes we experience isolation and loneliness, even as a Christian. It's possible. We actually feel left out of life. We feel like we're standing on the sidelines watching everybody else play on the field. And we're the only one standing there, and we're all alone. We feel like an island out in the midst of a great sea. We encounter people, but they seem to us as islands too. The present medical distress has worsened this dilemma. People are closed off from other people. Many are having what is referred to as mental health issues due to isolation. We were created to be a part of a community of persons, just like the snowflake, just like them. Each individual, but once they come together, what a beautiful picture God has created. People need people. God made us that way on purpose. He intended for us to have people as a blessing in our lives. You see, in Psalm 102, verse 7, it says, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I watch. I'm not participating. I'm not experiencing the moment. I'm over here alone, and I'm just watching King out. That has happened to many of us. But Abraham had a blessing given to him of God. And the blessing is found in Genesis 17, verses 4 through 5. The Lord said to him, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. So you see, he was given the blessing of family community, and family community that would go far beyond his lifespan. What a blessing. What a blessing he experienced. There are times when we should be alone, though. Alone for the purpose of drawing close to the Lord. In James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw close to the Lord, saints. There are times when we ought to be alone, alone with our own thoughts, alone with our own situations, alone with our own heart, so that we can draw close to the Lord. And when we do, he will draw close to us. There should also be times of self-reflection and holy meditation when we think on these things. In Job chapter 37, verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. There are times when we need to still ourselves alone. I can remember a season of life when the front porch after dinner was the perfect place for that. You would sit in the swing and just swing back and forth and think about these things, and think about God, and think about the things he's done and what he's bringing you to. You would meditate on the Lord on the front porch swing. But I don't suppose there's a whole lot of that going on right now. Amen? But you see, forced isolation from an ungodly sort works havoc and disintegration in the mind because it is contrary to the way in which God made us. Amen? Feeling left out of the mainstream can drive us to seek the face of the Lord. Or it can lead us into that sin that we discussed on last Friday, the sin of covetousness. You see, that is why some people enter into sin, because they want to be in the in crowd. They want to hang out with the movers and the shakers and the beautiful people, so they think. But it is a friend. Isolation is at times, aloneness is at times, when we need to be still and hear from the Lord. There are times we need to be still and hear from the Lord. It is during these times that we are compelled to draw closer to Him. We come to appreciate His love for us even more. We come to desire His fellowship more than ever before. And in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, before stuff started going haywire, I went astray, Lord. I was right back to doing my thing. But now have I kept thy word. You see, sometimes we have jams in our lives so that we can become sweeter. That's right. God allows for jams, so that He can bring out the sweetness that He's placed within us. It's not all bad. It's just how you look at it. Amen? It's just how you look at it. You see, saints, if nothing ever interrupts our usual, we won't get to know the Lord nor come to appreciate who He really is to us. That's right. Sometimes God uses the jams of life to build an even greater testimony in our lives. Some of us were afraid to witness because we didn't think our testimony sounded so great. Well, God comes to build on that and to give us a testimony that we cannot keep to ourselves. Amen? God is good that way. In Job chapter 19, beginning with verse 13, he writes, "He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in thy sight, in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spoke against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me." So you see, saint, there are times when we are left alone, where people are driven from our lives, we become estranged and separated from them, but we don't need to necessarily allow the enemy to use that situation as a weapon against us. You see, You have a say in that matter. When these situations happen to you, whether you will allow the enemy to use it as a weapon or whether you will do something different. Amen? You have a say in that matter. You see, saints, God has a plan no matter how it looks. Yes, he does. He has a plan no matter how it looks. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promises to never leave us and never to desert us. So no matter what happens, God has not left us alone. Even if we choose to make our bed in hell, God knows where to find us. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, he is despised, and I mean hated with in it. Worse than that, actually. And as a result of them hating him and despising him so, he's rejected of men. People rejected Jesus Christ. People sometimes reject us. But saints, people still need people. It's part of God's equation of life. You see, Jesus was a man of many, many, many sorrows, and he was well acquainted with grief. He knows what grief is. We don't really have to explain it to him at all. He's experienced it himself. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. People do that to us, too. He was despised. They thought he was despicable. And we esteemed him not. We didn't value him. People treat us that way, too. When we have gone out of our way to be a blessing and a help and a support, many times people don't show appreciation. But I want you to know, saints, no matter how people behave, your Heavenly Father is pleased with you. Amen? Your Heavenly Father is pleased with you. Even Jesus was not called to reign in popularity. Really? How do you know that, Pastor? Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 46, it says, Nathanael was talking. He had something to say to Philip. Why? Because Philip had a message for Nathanael. And if you'll join me at John chapter 1, we'll go there for a moment. And we're going to begin at verse 43. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael. So Philip went looking for him. Amen? He was interested in finding him. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found him, the Messiah. We know where he is. We know who he is. We found him. Ah, what a blessing. And this is the response of Nathanael. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? So you see, Jesus wasn't raised in a wonderful place, more like a ghetto and a slum. And people had an opinion of folks that came from Nazareth. And it, as you can see, it wasn't a popular nor desirable opinion in the eyes of many. So Jesus understands that about us too. So if perhaps you find yourself feeling left out, do not despair. Jesus experienced this too. Yes, he did. And in Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 55, we shall read a little. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 55, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes. Multitudes is a lot of people. Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then it happened. What happened? All the disciples forsook him and fled. All. It didn't say a few. All the disciples forsook him and fled. What do you mean they forsook him? Just that. They ran off and left him. Yeah, they did. That's what happened, saint. So you see, when it happens to you, should it happen, don't be upset. It happened to Jesus, too. They gave up. They left him. They abandoned him. And for all practical purposes, they renounced him. They didn't want to have anything else to do with him after that situation came to pass. So when it happens to you, don't go into a pity party. Woe is me. Everybody left me. Nobody wants me. Don't go there. Don't even give that an opportunity to start. Just stop that before it gets started. Don't go to patting yourself on the back, going, oh, self, it's going to be okay. The Father has given us the Comforter, you know. He comes to comfort us in our tribulation. Amen? If so, in John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16 and verse 32, we see another occasion. Behold, the hour cometh, yes, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone. Why? Because the Father is with me. And neither are you alone, because the Father is with you as well. That's right. Acknowledge the truth and don't make room for the devil. That's right. Acknowledge the truth and don't make room for the devil. Jesus has been touched by isolation too. Amen? It's part of the human condition. Yes, it is. in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 explains, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." The places where we're weak. It's not like he can't be touched. He has been touched. But was in all points tempted, like as we are. You see, when you get to these places, there's a temptation right underneath the surface, waiting to surface. But with that temptation, he did not sin. And neither should we, saint. Neither should we. Keep in mind, saints, that the enemy is watching all this. He's watching this show. In fact, he was instrumental in some of it coming to pass. He will come in a sly way to take advantage of these emotions. But, saints, don't let him get away with this. You may say to yourself, as it is in Psalm 31, verse 12, Psalm 31, verse 12, "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." I've just come to the end of this, and here I sit. You may get there. It may happen to you. It's part of the human condition and experience. In Psalm 88, we're going to go there for a second, I think. Let me see if I still want to do that. Psalm 88. Yes. You see, in Psalm 88, the psalmist was having emotions too. In verse 13, it says, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent or come before thee. Why, Lord, castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" Sometimes we feel like God has run off and left us, but that's just a passing feeling. It's not the truth. "I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up." Now, that's serious. "While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water, compassed or engulfed about me together." They surrounded me, God. Did you see what they did? They surrounded me with their ugly. "Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness." So you see, it can become quite severe, this aloneness that we feel and experience. It can become quite severe. And the enemy will help you to feel trapped and alone and afraid in a world that you did not design for yourself. The enemy will put you in solitary confinement even while you are out and among people if you let him. Yes, he will. He will do that to you if you let him. In Psalm 142, beginning with verse 4, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Nobody cared about me. We feel that way, whether it's the truth or not. We often feel that way. But you see, he went on to say, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I'm going to depend on God if all else fails anyway. I'm not looking to you. I'm looking to the Lord. Sometimes, saints, isolation is a family curse. That's right. Sometimes it is an inappropriate response to pain. Sometimes. In Psalm 22, verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. You say you can't be serious, Pastor. Oh, yes, I am. Keep living. Folks can do this. I know all about it. It happens even to the righteous. Yes, it does. It happens even to the righteous. And then they have the nerve to say this. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Yes, they do. They surely do. Amen. We should know that this is a part of the human experience, a part of life. Regardless, the enemy can be counted on to blow this experience out of proportion. That's right. He will make it seem like a huge cloud that has swallowed you up or like something that just won't go away. That's the enemy for you. Saints, don't believe him for a moment. Satan is the father of lies, and lying is what he does. This is what he does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We know he's out to plot something against us, and now we've discovered which plot it is today. He has no right, saints, no right at all. In John chapter 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning, coming to try to murder your faith, if you let him, and abode not in the truth. The devil's not going to tell you the truth. He's going to try to mix some circumstances or a few facts and scoop it up and wrap his lies up in it and then roll it up in some pastry and hand it to you and say, here, won't that taste good? He abode not in the truth. Why? Because there's no truth in him. Don't look for it there. You're not going to find it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's seen to it that it came to pass. He's been working on this lie for a while now. And you see, out there it came. So, what should you do? What should you do about this? Well, one answer to this situation is to tell the truth. Don't be afraid, saints, to ask us for help. The Bible says that you don't have, you desire to have, you cannot obtain because you don't ask. You don't ask. You have not because you ask not. You let that little bit of pride come get in your way, and you let it stay right there, knowing that it shouldn't be there, and you won't ask. You won't ask. Amen? You won't ask. I'm going to keep saying it. You won't ask. Amen? You won't ask. Praise the Lord. You won't ask. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just let that sit there and marinate for a moment. You won't ask. You can, but you won't. Another answer is that this may be a lesson to teach us compassion for others. Passion? Yes. Compassion. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. The Bible says, ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers. You know how to help in this situation because you've already been through this. Amen? In Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Yet another answer is for us to think on others more than we dwell on ourselves and on our own issues. Think on others more than we think about ourselves. You know, if you allow yourself, you could build a whole world just around your little issues. But that is not the will of God. People need people. That's not the will of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't just be selfish and self-centered. No. Put your focus on the Lord and ask him to make you a blessing to others. And you will find that in becoming a blessing to others, you will be blessed. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body of Christ, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's the plan of God. Right there. That's it. Yet still, saints, you should consider this. Offer your loneliness and you're feeling left out to the Lord as a sacrifice to honor him. Let him use this circumstance to bring his glory in the midst of it all. Just offer it to him and trust him to do miracles, miracles, and more miracles. That's right. You have an option. You don't have to let the devil take hold of it and run you into the ground with it. You do not have to let the enemy beat you over the head with it. You have an option. You have some say in this matter. Amen? You have some say in how this continues. In Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 15, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen? That's how God sees this. That's right. Jesus told us plainly. Jesus told us plainly. Really? Okay. That he was rejected and left alone. He has sent us the Holy Spirit to bring us comfort when we need it. Pandemic fatigue requires the comforter. That's right. As a matter of fact, we have an entire series of messages on the Holy Spirit. And if you have never listened, I encourage you to do so. Amen? I encourage you to do so. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 16, the Lord says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That's right. "That he may abide," that is, live with you forever. Not part of the time, forever. Live with you. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That's right. In John chapter 15, beginning with verse 25, Jesus explains it some more. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 25, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." Yes, it has happened to God. It happened to Jesus. It happens to us. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." He'll tell you about me. If you really want to know, he will. So you see, saints, we have something to say about this situation. The Bible says that how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, won't he? Won't he do that? He loves you. Won't he give you the Holy Spirit? Won't he do that for you? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Therefore, he therefore that despises not man but God." They don't want you around? Well, they don't want Jesus in you around either. Who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. They don't want that Holy Spirit around them either. He makes them feel where they are in the spirit realms in their soul. They don't like that feeling. Why? They're wrong with God, but they're not ready to get right. Mm-hmm. So, saints, make good use of this time. Don't squander it. Don't let it just be for no good. You just feel left out and alone. No, use it for good purpose. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible gives you something to do. Yes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for all saints. Situation is common to man and common to the saints. That's right. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Lord says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. He prays for us. Surely we can come in agreement with his intercession. Amen? We should choose to pray. Pray? Yes, pray for others who are truly isolated and feeling left out, that God will use this event in their lives as a blessing to themselves and to others. Now, isn't that better than letting the enemy just beat you over the head with a feeling or a circumstance? We need to learn to turn it on the devil. We need not let him get away with this kind of thing. We ought to have something to say about it. And we can say it in our prayer languages also. You see, you have something to say about this matter. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. People, saints, need God's people to pray for them. So in your moment of feeling all alone, don't be tempted to be depressed. Instead, turn that thing on the devil and pray for people who feel the way you feel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand for the benediction, saint. Stand for the benediction. Praise God. God has been so good to us today. So very good. We want to thank him for everyone who was interested in hearing what God had to say. You see, people need people. Because we know that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, saints? It is so, the Lord. Pastor loves you. Pastor thanks you for your intercession. Jesus loves you. The Father loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. You're a blessing to the body of Christ and to the kingdom of God. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, amen, and amen. See you all on Wednesday. God bless you.
Some have called.